identify that the actions that we are doing are political power. So he, this man here, for example, is a tireless optimist. I mean, it's amazing, amazing that he gets up in the morning and goes into the American gulag. I mean, but where is the analysis to call it a gulag? Where's the political analysis? See, this is the problem, because that, as long as the media is controlled by the state, and in my view, is controlled by the state, you're never going to hear the word gulag. I mean, we'll all be dead before you hear the word gulag.
What is this then?
We heard it around Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, well, abroad.
What is this then? How do we define the people that are actually, whether in reality or not, bestowed with the title of politician? What do you consider that class, or how do we deal with that? With that entity that we've been handed, are they useful? What are they? What are their limitations? That kind of thing.
I think
it's supposed to be where we go for this.
That's right. Well, I think first you have to recognize that it's a dictatorship. So how do you deal with a dictator?
Well, for me, I mean, I think someone just said something about being bound up.
Bound up.
I think this is for me. I guess when I'm asked how do you deal with a dictator, I ask first, how do people allow themselves to be in the position where they have a dictator, in a sense? And I think that has something to do with this being bound up, because I think, I mean, we're part of what we're dancing around is a certain question of subjectivity that we're not really talking about in terms of how people are plugged into a system or inscribed into a system. So
which you're actively countering. I mean, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I try to, and just to say, I mean, I'm in fairness to the people who are doing the work I was talking about earlier. Most of the work that I is not the work that, that's not necessarily the work that I do a lot. I mean, mostly the work that I do is making video, or, you know, shooting photographs, or helping put together events or something like that. But what I think of in terms of why I bring up the question of subjectivity is because I think the way that we find a place in society is always has a certain double bind to it, right? We always are connected in a way what the systems that we are sort of subjected to, right? You know, in terms of like that dominate us, if you want to go that far to say that, at the same time are the same systems that give our lives meaning, right? You know, why is someone so fearful to talk about the U.S. as being imperialist, or there being something wrong about the U.S., or that the founding fathers were slave owners? You know, I mean, whatever. You know, these kind of questions that. Part of the reason is not because they necessarily disagree with it, because...
But they weren't all slaveholders. I mean, this is a really important issue.
Well, I mean, we can get to that in a second, maybe, but what I mean by that is that one of the reasons I think that people have a problem with that is because, that like it or not, whether you're conscious of the fact that you and your partner can't support yourself in the way that one person could have supported the both of you in the 60s, whether or not you're conscious of those differences, at the same time, that system is what gives you meaning. And at the same time, being an American citizen, for a lot of people, is what, if they think about what it means to critique that, if they're not given a framework on which to critique that, and to still feel like they have their lives is not obliterated of all meaning, then that's a total identity crisis. That's total anxiety, and they can't deal with that. I think that's also a really big mistake of the left, in terms of not taking into consideration when the ease with which the right is able to write off so much stuff as being anti-American. That's sort of like, oh, that's just anti-Americanism. You know, of course, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, in some places, you could have a whole conversation about what that even means in the first place. But I think that this is a really important question to think, because I feel like one of the ways in which on the left we tend to talk about the possibility of change is the light switch kind of model, that everybody's in the dark, but if we could flip on the light switch, everyone will wake up to the reality that's around them and they'll see it. Or like in the Matrix, if you take the right pill, suddenly you'll see, you know, what's, you know, but...
I think that's part of how society is disenfranchised, because I think under a total state, the left is part of the apparatus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that you are, or whatever. I'm saying that the mode of maybe this left-right model doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Because what are the leading left, most visible organizations in the United States? And I mean, Move On was created to save Bill Clinton's ass. I mean, doesn't anybody want to talk about that? I mean, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No, I don't want to talk about that. Well, I have a lot of reactions to the discussion, but I just wanted to focus on one thing, which is about 10 days ago, there was this, my name is Lenore Weiss, and I'm from Oakland, California, and I'm here visiting. And I'm the head of the Middle East Peace Committee for my synagogue, the Hillel and Community Synagogues in the Bay Area. But I just attended this wonderful event. It was a 4-day conference that was organized through Tikkun. This is an organization that Rabbi Michael Lerner heads up. And he's very involved with the Jewish renewal movement. So this conference was a 4-day conference. There were 1,200 people who had registered. More than that attended. There were people like Leanne Eisler, Gandhi's great grandson, Fritjof Capra, Matthew Fox. The focus of the conference was to create a network of spiritual progressives, because everybody was addressing the fact that where is the progressive community within our religious organizations, which had been very active in a very large part of the Vietnam protests that were going on. It was not a political movement. It was a national protest that was going on. But I think it was just so exciting to be at that event, and it's going to happen in Washington, D.C. next year as well. But I think there's a lot of wonderful things happening in terms of organization, like San Francisco, for example. There's now a proportional representation happening with elections, citywide elections, and that's going on in other parts of the country. In some ways, the discussion for me, this is just my reaction, is focused a lot on what we don't understand, what we're not acknowledging, but I think a lot of people do get it. And part of what this discussion is for me is about convergence, and people like the network of progressive spiritual activists, Global Exchange, the work that you're doing, the prison movement, the labor movement that's going on, all the, you know, the positive things that are happening, there's a lot. We don't hear about it,
yes,
because the media,
sure,
is so controlled. But that's not to say there isn't a lot of wonderful thinking that's being done and a lot of wonderful activity that's going on.
But where's the critique? Where's the critique of why the media system doesn't cover it? Where's the opposition?
The opposition. Well, I know KPFA up in the Bay Area talks about that all the time, and there's a critique that goes on.
But does it talk about the political parties?
Does it? Do we have to talk about
it? That's the whole problem. See, we don't want to talk about it.
Well, but I think people are talking about it. See, I don't, I don't, I don't, I guess I have a slightly different.
No, no, you're positive. The optimism. This is the terrible dilemma that we're in, because how do you not lose hope? How do you stay focused on organizing and building and creating a real opposition, at the same time recognizing what that wall is 6 inches in front of you, you know, that you can't see?
But you know, change in this country has always come from the bottom, from organizing.
But we've gone through this so many times. We went through this with the populist revolt in the 1870s and 80s. We went through it, you know, around the Wobblies, who were crushed mercilessly by Wilson. We went around this with Henry Wallace, who tried to dismantle the war apparatus, which traditionally has been a Republican democratic value, that you don't have a standing army. That was aborted. We had McCarthyism. We had a total failure, in my opinion, of the Vietnam War protests. We now have had a failure of the protests against Iraq. Okay, is that enough?
I don't think the protests against Iraq are over. I mean, I think it's an evolving thing.
Yeah. I just don't agree with your analysis.
Okay.
I'd like to say that I think that we have had a huge debate about political parties, and especially the role of the Democrats, and Ralph Nader was all about that, and we talked about that for 4 years. And got a good week again, because the Democrats basically had more money to say, oh, Nader voted for us in 2000 in Florida, and oh, if you vote for Nader again and not Kerry, you're gonna get fucked, and just watch. But we got fucked anyway. So
that's right.
So I mean, that debate has been there. I don't think people have been able, obviously.
But where did it go?
Well, the Green Party is not allowed to go on CNN.
But maybe the Green Party is not enough.
Well, right, but obviously they're not. But what I'm saying is that anything that comes on, like you said, is we know that there's this system that's there that's not letting the views in. We feel it. We come up against it every day at work, and we can't our cubicles and say, hey, you know, you hear about this and this. We know it's there, I think.
I'm going to say something, and then Tom, and then this guy over here. I think that for me, that this is one of the central questions that we have to discuss, and because I feel the same frustration I think that Fred feels, in that it's hard to even verbalize, but I feel like my experiences in LA publishing a magazine that I think. This is self-aggrandizing, but I think kicks ass, and I think we do great work. But I find so much, but I find so many borders and barriers even within the left. Like, I have relationships with people in KPFK who, because of my political framework and the color of my skin, I cannot get on the air to promote and put out amazing ideas And that's my bitch, but whatever. But I think that's extremely important as well, because I don't think that especially in Los Angeles, maybe San Francisco is different, but I feel like the way in which the left in LA has its eye on the prize is not on any prize besides its own little slice of the pie. And so while I agree with you, I feel like the way in which, I feel like there's an extreme need to understand that the game is both fixed and winnable in the fixed game, but then it's really winnable only when you change the rules of the game. So,
here. I wanted, and I'm gonna think about how to frame this for a sec, but one of the things I wanted to contemplate for tonight's discussion was not just the rigid political analysis that I think we're doing right now, because I've thought about it a lot. I think everybody in here has thought about it a lot, and I think part of the answer is that, well, part of the situation is that people are out there doing stuff. We need to be shown, though. We need inspiration, and I think where that comes from is as this protest movement translates into a really crafty, smart, below-the-radar cultural movement, where cultural producers start getting on board and being inspired. Let me drop a few. I mean, that's the way the right does it. The scripts they write in Hollywood, they have more propaganda in them than we can shake it, you know? And we need to fight back on those same terms and utilize the cultural apparatus that we have, our galleries, our public art spaces, you know, videos, documentaries, everything to, and in a sense, I'm saying that it's not all about coming together in one room and hashing it out. It's about, maybe it's about somebody going away to their room and coming up with some clever work and distributing it somehow so that people are inspired by that.
One thing I just want to bring to the conversation of the our meeting this evening is also the environmental issues and how some troops actually do get misrepresented. And yesterday was on August 6th, 8:15 in the morning, during rush hour traffic, an atomic bomb in the center of Hiroshima, of which conservative estimate 240,000 people were killed. And I'm not going to go much more further than that. I went to a meeting that was yesterday, kind of something like that, but it had to do with, I'm part of Hox Christi, which is an anti-war Catholic organization, of which had been organized meetings going, and they're organized onto the yesterday and also for the 9th and for the nuclear facility in Nevada and also the D-Day. Facilities that's in New Mexico that are where plenty of waste is and actually where things are going to be clearly until D-Day, you know, when it, because when those things get pushed, this is going to be the end of the world. That being 7 years ago, there's spoiled things. People like Americans are really want to hear what how the rest of the world has looked at us. You know, it's like when you mentioned Vietnam, it was presented to us like a domino effect, like if Vietnam falls, then you know Hawaii falls like that. Okay, we control the economies. That is not how they saw it. They saw it as a civil war, and it was a disconnect. But also like replaced regimes from the French and Americans, in some effects, the French and Americans' policies with each other, I've never really argued from that. But it goes on, you know, but just how the media has distorted the actual truths of the actual histories that have actually happened. So, and there's also been recently looked at the abuse in outer space that our ozone layer has actually gotten much worse than what was previously had been reported in just the past 5 years.
But again, this is a place where political analysis is almost entirely missing. Because, for example, I mean, you might hear the analysis will only go so far as to say, well, it's the coal companies, or you know, it's fluorocarbons, or whatever. But there has to be a framework in which you can put these problems, I think. I think that's missing because we're all so focused on our specific issues. You know, one person's fighting this issue, you're fighting that issue, et cetera.
I feel like maybe that is even a good direction to go. I'd be really interested in hearing people's comments, ideas about what is a framework? What are effective frameworks? Either if it's starting off with Fred's question of asking, what does it mean to be anti-war? Or, yeah, I think that's a really direction that might be worthwhile to walk down for a little bit. Because as cultural producers, we make frameworks. We can.
Well, I don't know. When I was making the poster for this series, I was thinking of what is anti-war, and I started thinking of all the symbols of the war parties, corporations, weapons, all that stuff, and like through some process that we'll come up with, they'll all be converted into product lines or something. So, I mean, obviously that fuzzy part in the middle of that process is what we need to come up with, but, you know, I think that's possible. I mean, I don't know.
So the framework is inverting the symbols?
Not that was my representation of what we have to do to make this anti-war.
And maybe in some ways it's interesting, like if you know, somebody might have, you know, people are signed up on the prison issue or labor issue or environmental issue. Okay.